Good morning and welcome. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Wickham.
Hello. Morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning. Not bad, how you doing? Good.
Good, not too bad.
Yeah, now, this first, I have a few points. So I want to ask you now, in relation to that gentleman who spoke about Mr. Barrow becoming premier in 61, have you ever read Winter Crawford's book?
Not really. I've read parts of it, but what was it that he was saying that was important?
No, what he said, let me explain to you what he said. He said in that book that there was a meeting in Church Village in 1961. And at that meeting, Mr. Ernest Dighton Motley told Mr. Barrow that if he wanted to become premier, he would ask a man called Grandison, one of his campers who was at the meeting, to get him and announce to the crowd that Mr. Barrow would be premier if the Democratic Labour Party won the election.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Crawford said, he said that what happened when he went the night after this new, he heard of the news. I think he called Branko or Branko called him and very angry about it, but he said that it was in the midst of an election and they didn't want to give the public the impression that there was disunity in the party. And mm-hmm. they didn't make any fuss about it.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I'm listening to you, sir. Yeah, I was listening to you make the point.
You heard what I said?
Yeah, I heard what you said, yeah.
Right. So I was listening to that. That's what he said. That after Crawford called, the Bank and Crawford spoke, they agreed not to worry about it. Not to worry, but they didn't make a fuss about it because it was it was in the midst of an election. You see, he said that. It's right there in Crawford's book.
But the reality is still that whenever it came down to it, the dipper took over the leadership of the party. So
right,
that's really what was important.
Right. But he said so. Another point I want to ask you. What is really wrong with, I don't know what's your view on this. What is really wrong with a member of the white royal family being concerned about a colored child in the family? Anything wrong? You see anything
I think is everything wrong with it.
Everything wrong with it? Oh?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You make your point and then let me respond.
All I'm saying is, well, I know what people will say, but the Queen has had to become wealth, and from that point of view, like she didn't say it. The youngster said she didn't say it, or his grandfather. However, what I'm saying, other members, this is a white British institution. This is not she's not our Queen. We Barbadians choose to have her as their Queen. And that stupidity that we have, the kind of stupid arrangement we have. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, for them, the British white people, the majority of people in Britain are white. And I cannot be a member of their family. I cannot see the world through their eyes. You see my point?
Mm-hmm.
You have to see the world through their eyes. Now, what I'm saying, mm-hmm. for many blacks, I know we have been night. I saw how Oprah reacted when she heard it. Now, it's all for us to see it through those eyes. But what about those people seeing it through their world? This is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just trying to see if you could, in their shoes.
No, that's another one of the issues that I am anxious to discuss out of last week's events. And I get where you're coming from, sir. You know, look, on one level, I would say, and I did two discussions with UK media on this issue. And in both instances, my view was that, look, the average Barbadian is not surprised that the institution is racist because it was always racist. The Queen's grandparents supervised or essentially reigned over a government that enslaved my grandparents and your grandparents. So the fact that the Queen may have less concern about racism within the family is not anything that should surprise us.
Right, that's right.
At the same time, however, at the level of the Commonwealth, the question is being asked, do you think that the Commonwealth is predominantly brown and black people? Because it's India, it's Pakistan, it's the Caribbean, it's Africa. So the majority of people in the Commonwealth are not white. They're brown and black. The question is, do you want that person who clearly is not as concerned about racism as she ought to be, being head of the Commonwealth in those kinds of circumstances?
But I raised that question. I spoke on that already.
Which is fine. The problem is that we are leaving. She will no longer be our head of state. So we have solved that problem. The challenge, however, is that we are still going to be in the Commonwealth. We're not planning to leave the Commonwealth. And the reality is that we shouldn't leave the Commonwealth because the Commonwealth costs us nothing and it benefits us in some ways. So it's better to continue getting the benefits from it, especially as we're not paying anything for it, right? And I think that that's really where it comes down. But the idea that our participation in the Commonwealth is an expression of support for the monarchy, with all the nonsense that the monarchy is associated with, is something that I agree with you is absolute nonsense. That I think that we find it, look, I felt, right, that the entry of this dark-skinned person into the royal family gave the royal family an opportunity to reflect a level of diversity that was long overdue. The first time anyone in the royal family was attended to by staff that was non-white was 2017. It's the first time that they get a black person. And to the best of my knowledge, there's only one or two that in the Queen's household that work for her that are black. So they have needed an infusion of color in the royal family for a long time. And what she has brought is an opportunity for them to embrace the diversity. And what do they do? They reject her. You know, and I said to people, and I mean, and I don't have a difficulty discussing this. I said to people that I married into a family that didn't have a big set of experience with black people either, right? But I am happy to say that my father-in-law has consistently said that he welcomed the opportunity to experience a level of diversity, which he would have been prevented. So other than saying a minus, he's saying a plus because he's been introduced to different food, different culture. He's come to Barbados and toured the place, and he experienced the way of people, you know. It is, to me, an opportunity and a benefit that one would think the royal family would embrace the same way that my father-in-law did. But the reality is that the Queen does not really, I don't really know that the Queen is bothered.
I don't think
she likes things the way they are. Right.
No, I don't think she can say anything because, as you said quite rightly, that she is the head, she is the symbol of the free association of the Commonwealth. That's why I think why I said that she right. Not, you know, the Commonwealth leaders accept her as a kind of, well, a figurehead for everything, or to every Commonwealth can play in this Commonwealth. She attends as the head of the Commonwealth, but not in a major role in governance or anything like that. But what I'm saying is that, so she would never say anything about it. Or as the boy said, that his grandfather, his grandmother and grandmother didn't say, it didn't come from them. However, all in terms of other members, all the point I'm making is other members who might have some concern. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I'm sure it could happen because in many people, I guess, ask what this guy would look like when he's born.
I'm with you.
What I'm saying is, but the child also could grow up with a complex. If the child is a member of that family, and the child is then ostracized by the family, suppose for example the child came up black, your mother is a black woman, suppose, and children strike back, right? What would happen? You could imagine those people accepting the person, given the real world that we live in.
My thing is that if the child strike back, I think it would be great because it would mean that you got somebody pretty dark in the royal family. And you know, I always think when Queen, for example, their response to this thing has been to reach out. So the prince went to some function with a black person, and then the other prince went to another function with a black person. And I'm saying, if it is that they want to associate with black people so much, if they had a strike back in the family, it'd be easier. So you got to say, but I can't be racist, but look, my grandson that I love, and you see me hugging up my grandson as a black person. But the reality is that the Queen rejected that opportunity to embrace that. And now she's moving in a different direction and basically looks as though she's basically turning her back on them. And then going to hospitals and going to immunization centers to drop on the black people, not the Queen, but her heirs and successors, to drop on the black people. So that somebody can ask you if you're racist and you can say, no, we're definitely not racist. I mean, what nonsense.
But
you know?
Didn't you find it rather stupid that I saw, I think, was the day after it was in the news, the guy William, the Prince William was at a school and I saw a black girl walking beside him.
But that's what I'm talking about.
It was so stupid.
Because you trying to prove that you're not racist, so you join up on the black people to be using that. I mean, come off it.
And then also...
Come off it.
And then some reporter stupidly asked him if the if they're racist. Now, why would you ask a man he's racist? It's just like, Don Lemon asked Donald Trump if he was racist. I mean, Donald Trump said, oh, I'm the least racist man in the world.
I'm the racist man you'd ever get.
One night, Don Lemon asked Donald Trump, are you racist? And Donald Trump said, well, I'm the least racist person in the world. Something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's a fact. All right, sir, we're going to have to run. I really would love to have some more conversation on this or royal family issue, but perhaps next week we'll get back to the discussion. But we're going to run. Take care. Down to Brass Tacks. We'll be right back. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Down to Brass Tacks. I'm getting mixed up with the hand signals. My apologies. Good afternoon. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hey, morning there. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm great. And yourself?
Yes, please. Thank you. Today, I wanted to respond to a comment that was made by a gentleman yesterday. He was speaking about CSC and the option of deferral for the exam. And I wanted to just respond with the fact that students, you do have the option to defer the exams. However, there's no guarantee that you'll be able to be accepted back into sixth form. So, you know, it's kind of an ultimatum, you know? You really don't know if you will have that opportunity again, because you will probably still have to compete with fifth form students who are going into lower six. And also, what happens if COVID doesn't disappear by next year? Would we have to defer exams again? And I think,
Mom, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I was saying that I think this is a part of the problem where you're not hearing as many students speak up about this problem as you should, because students are afraid that when they speak, adults would try to invalidate their concern. I've had so many students say to me, you know, I don't know if I really want to put myself out there to speak. I'm not sure if I would say the right thing, or I don't want to subject myself to so much judgment. And I keep telling them the only way that you will be able to get something done is if you speak up about it. But because you don't have that support from adults that you should, they're afraid to speak up about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to encourage them to continue to speak up and use me as an example, because I'm not usually a person who would do something like this. I'm a person that when I called yesterday, my leg was shaking and I was so scared. But you have to realize that it's either you be afraid about your future and failing the exams, or spending 5 minutes to speak and allow everybody to know what is going on. I don't think that you should sit down and roll over and pretend to be dead and just accept what is happening. They're going through with this mentality that whatever happens, happens. It's like saying, you know, if you're going to sexually abuse me, just don't do it hard. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're just rolling over and just taking it. They're not saying anything. They're just taking it. And the reality is, we are not ready for these exams. We are not ready at all. And I do not understand why the Ministry of Education would have consented to this, because we would have told them at the meeting in December that we were not ready for the examination. But they proceeded to make the decision that they did anyways. So I just want to be able to encourage students to say what you have to say. They have to listen to you.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mom, let me ask you a question. Are you in a position to stay on the line for a little while? Because we have to break for the regional roundup. But I would really like to continue this conversation with you. So,
of course.
Let me ask, I think your contribution and the conversation is very important. I'm happy to facilitate it because I think that people need to hear your side. So I'm just going to ask you if you can hang on for a few minutes. We are going to go to the regional roundup. When we come back, you and I can have an extended engagement regarding this most important issue to students. Do stay with us. Good afternoon and welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks, 4341790. Remember, we're with you now until 12:30. And that's the point at which we take a break for the latest. Before we broke, I was speaking to a young lady who I believe is part of the class that should be taking the Caribbean Examination Council exams. And I'm hoping that she's still on the line. Are you there, ma'am?
Yes, please.
Right. Well, let me just tell you at the outset that I'm prepared to give you as much of this time in between now and the next break as possible, because I do feel that your issue is important and needs to be prioritized, consistent with what I'm being reminded online by other people who feel that they want to hear from you. You said a lot. You basically said that you feel that the system you have to fight, and that you believe that you are being forced to fight a battle. And let me just know that there is, if there's one person that is an ally you have, and that would be me. So I understand the need to fight. I, however, disagree with you to the extent that I think that you guys should not have to fight on your own behalf. I think it is unfair and unfortunate. If we define adulthood as starting at 18 years old, I think that we have a responsibility to take care of persons who fall below that age. And I would say the same thing to people who are taking the 11 plus exam, people who are taking the CXC exams. You cannot be asked to prepare for life. You cannot be asked to prepare for exams and also to be fighting battles in situations where you are not fully appraised of the circumstances. So I think it is a most unfortunate situation that you guys find yourself in, where you're forced to fight these battles. You have a whole Ministry of Education. You have educational advisors. You have technical officers. You have senior technical officers. You have a chief education officer. You have educational psychologists. You have a permanent secretary. You have a minister of education. And you have that in every single one of those 14 Caribbean territories where the Caribbean Examination Council is based. After all of that, and the amount of resources that is spent protecting the interests of young people, there's absolutely no way that it should fall to you to fight these battles on your own behalf. So I do feel it is unfortunate that you are being put in this position, and certainly I will support you. But I will continue saying that I think it is sad that you guys are being forced to fight a battle on your behalf because you are not equipped. So the first question I would ask you is that in an ideal situation, what would be your ideal preference at this stage? If you were, say, asked what is the preference, what would be the ideal for you?
Well, I would say the ideal option would be to have exams way later, because there's no way that we will be able to complete the syllabus efficiently. And mm-hmm. also, we are still kind of in the midst of things where we have cases and another death. So it is like, you know, we would prefer to wait it out until we know that it's safe.
Mm. So your ideal thing would be a considerably longer deferral. July is not that far away, quite frankly. So you're saying maybe to even go to September. In the United Kingdom, the option has been put on the table that exams this year be scrapped. And certainly exams at the ordinary and advanced level, which is CXC and CAPE, be scrapped and in most instances deferred, which would basically mean that you would have another year before you enter university or you go on to the workforce. Is that something that you believe you would be comfortable with?
Yes, actually, I had a meeting with my school. Okay, I had a meeting and some persons would have actually brought that up, that they don't understand why we don't have that option.
You see, the concern I think that people have is that every year new people come into the system, and if they hold you back, it means what happens to the others, you know, because the others need to come up. But my point is that if everybody is held back, then you really kind of only have a system, a problem at the primary department where persons are, you know, seeking to enter secondary school. But my personal feeling is that it's difficult to ask a child to do an exam this year. The other thing I wanted to probe with you is the difference between the face-to-face method and the online method. Now, well, let me tell you where from where I sit, how it works, right? I work remotely, so for me, it's nothing new and different. But I remember when I was going to school, and I remember the extent to which I benefited from a face-to-face conversation with my teachers and so on when I was studying, certainly at the CXC level. I can't imagine doing it that way. What I have noticed is that even though your generation is more tech savvy and more comfortable with the electronic method, there has still been a handicap on the part of especially children from lower socioeconomic groups where they don't have the infrastructure to follow classes online. I met one kid who was skipping classes because he only had a tablet and he needed a physical computer, a laptop, to be able to follow the classes. So he was at a disadvantage. I met another kid who had the necessary laptop, but did not have a dining table, because the dining table was filled with sewing things and things that the mothers used to cook and bake or whatnot, and had no place that he could set up properly and have a class. Then I know of another situation in which there's three children in the family, no dining table for them to sit at, and the place where they used to study or used to follow classes was outside in a general area where people from the neighborhood would be passing and shouting and throwing things and whatnot. It's not the kind of environment. So having said all of that, to me, there are problems with this electronic method. Even if you are comfortable with it, there's a handicap. And in my opinion, it creates a bias that is in favor of children who are from wealthier backgrounds, that have parents that can supervise their following of classes, that have the equipment, and that have the space. Which means basically that if you were to say, okay, you're going to have exams being done this year, that you're basically putting the less well-off children at a huge disadvantage to the children who are better off, who have been able to follow it all the well. How do you respond to this suggestion?
I believe that you're very correct, because I was even speaking to my mother this morning, and I was telling her that, you know, I was so happy that last year when the results, you know, were kind of messed up, that it's not only students from Graydon Sealy or Princess Margaret or a school that's considered as less than, and that these students who are actually put on a pedestal were actually affected, because if they weren't, there's a high possibility that nothing would have happened, and that, you know, the students who would have spoken out from lower school would have been invalidated and just pushed aside. I do believe that what you said was very true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we are obviously on the same page. I think that it is the responsibility of the Minister of Education to crack the whip in this situation. And I use the word crack the whip deliberately, because I do believe that she's dealing with a set of people who don't get it. And I think that there's a whip that needs to be cracked in terms of letting them, bringing them to a Christian understanding about these realities. I believe the onus is on the chairman of the Caribbean Examination Council, the distinguished professor, the Honorable Sir Hilary Beckles, who I think has let us down significantly, in that along with the Caribbean Examination Council, they have agreed to go along with this idea of doing exams in a normal way. I think it is abject nonsense, and I believe that he has a responsibility also to crack the whip and bring them to a Christian understanding about the realities that are going on. I'm sorry, I cannot for the life of me understand how someone that knows as much about education as these people do are prepared to say, you know what, let's just go with it as though it was business as usual, as though things were normal, and let's just get on with it. I don't get it. I single out those two individuals, but the Registrar of the Caribbean Examination Council, the Senior Assistant Registrar of the Caribbean Examination Council, there's a whole slew of officials that you can name. And I don't understand how our ministers of education across the region, my good friend in St. Lucia, Dr. Regubert, who is an aggressive academic and intellect, what is she saying in relation to all of this? The Minister of Education in St. Kitts and Nevis, my other good friend, Sean Richards, who, to the best of my knowledge, is an advocate on behalf of people. You know, why is he so quiet in this regard? The Minister of Education in Antigua and Barbuda, Trinidad and Tobago, all of these people seem to be willing to allow the Caribbean Examination Council to essentially tell them where to get off. And I don't understand it. This situation requires serious attention. And I am very happy to hear from you that students are mobilizing and something is going to be done about it. You cannot put pressure necessarily on Sir Hillary. You can put pressure on your Minister of Education. If it means that you guys have to go and take up placards, sadly, I can't come and join you because I'm a little far away. But if it means that you have to take up placards and protest outside the Ministry of Education, then maybe you need to do so. Maybe your parents need to do so. Because a signal needs to be sent that it is not business as usual. And you know, you made a point just now about higher and lower schools, which is not a conversation that I like to have. But I'm interested in the fact that at the level of the 11 plus, we're not having this conversation too, because them should be sitting on an exam neither. But you know, the difference there is that the students of the parents of the students who are well off are not complaining because they know that when the 11 plus exam come, their children will probably do well because they've been able to supervise their learning. It's the other ones that don't have anybody to speak on their behalf. At the level of the CXC, it's the same kind of conversation that you're having. The good thing is that by the time people get to CXC level, you have people like yourself who can articulate on people's behalf and whatnot, and that's absolutely important. So I don't know what the road ahead is. There are people who are messaging me and telling me that there are meetings that are ready in train with yourself or with others in the group. And hopefully we will get to somewhere. I know that you have a Prime Minister and a Minister of Education in Barbados who listens, right? From my conversations with Minister Bradshaw, I am convinced that she is aware of the issues and that she's doing her best to essentially move the needle slowly but surely while not stepping on anybody's toes. I, however, feel that there got times in life that you got to mash corns, you know, you got to make people uncomfortable. And I think that that is exactly where we are in this situation. I don't know if there's anything else that you wanted to say. You have some supportive emails that are coming in, WhatsApp messages that are coming in from people. This guy is saying that the debacle seems to be a question of egomaniacal individuals unable to accept responsibility for mistakes and unwilling to engage in stakeholders. Someone is saying, Peter, this is a travesty and it is one that people need to be aware of. And then a couple other messages that are coming in that are supportive. But I was saying, is there anything else that you want to say?
I guess so. Lastly, I would like to say that I think adults need to, for the most part, to just stop talking for a second and just listen, because they have to realize that they are not in a position. They don't have to sit these exams in June, July. So they wouldn't understand how it feels. They wouldn't have that, you know, that feeling of, you know, this is my future. It's either I choose my future or my life, which one I want to go with. They don't understand that. They never had to be in this position. So I would really like if, for once, instead of trying to invalidate our concerns, they would just listen. And that's just it. All they need to do is listen. I'm telling you that this is hurting me and you need to listen. That's everything that I have to say.
I just want to read a couple of these messages. One person says, Peter, my heart goes out to the children doing CXC. My daughter did CAPE 7 years ago, and for physics, the school sessions were not sufficient to cover the syllabus. The school extended the timetable for an hour, and even that was not enough. How can a child in these COVID times be expected to cope? Someone else says that the, and I was reading the message, but I got lost a bit. CXC is a law unto themselves. They answer to no one. We were attempting a protest outside the ministry last year and we were told it was not allowed. Just an observation, it seems that the exams are only for the children who have access to electricity, Wi-Fi, and the necessary trappings to succeed. Good grief, we are in a pandemic. It really shows the disparity. These children are children, Black children, if people only take note and action. The other point that was being made by one other another WhatsApper that I can't find now, is that the Caribbean Examination Council is offering you the opportunity to defer the exams and basically do them later. My concern about that is essentially when you offer deferral in some instances, you create two tiers of students, and perhaps there needs to be a policy across the board that says, look, if the students are going to compete in these exams, they compete, but they compete at a time when it is clearly more more acceptable in those circumstances. All right, ma'am, we are almost at the point where we're going to break for the latest news. I'm going to carry you up until the point when the producer tells me that we need to go. Is there any formal mechanism or group that is agitating in this regard? I know that there is the group that Paula Armour was associated with, and I think that that group was more dealing with the results from last year. But I don't know if there's a group dealing formally with this year. Is there anything going on?
Not certain about anything outside of my school, but I do know that my student council, we're trying to get stuff started out and speak with other people to just make sure that we're on the same page and try to move from there.